Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with the Beginner Runner Village podcast number 43, Nutrition and Running for Weight Loss. Most people started running to lose weight or to help them control their weight. The fact that this has been going on for decades proves that it does work, but it's not always as simple as it might appear. In this episode, I'll explain some basics that should help you to be successful if weight loss is your goal. Before we get to that, just a reminder that I'll be offering a Beginner Runner Village retreat in the fall. It's a great way to spend a long weekend with me and with others just like yourself, just starting out becoming a runner. Think of it like a fun-filled running retreat, a running vacation, with only actually a tiny bit of running, but more time to talk about running, time spent enjoying the camaraderie of other beginner runners, having fun in the downtown Tampa area, checking out some of our amazing restaurants, and all the while talking about how to execute my beginner runner program. We'll look at form. We'll talk about every element of training, and we'll do plenty of walking, so you'll get lots of exercise. And there will be one-on-one time with me, time for me to answer your questions, to help you with strategies for your individual challenges. I'll be posting the details soon, so keep an eye on the Beginner Runner Village website, because each retreat is limited to just 20 people. Now, running for weight loss. Here's the thing. Running a mile burns off about 100 calories, no matter your speed. In fact, walking a mile burns off almost exactly the same amount as running a mile. Speed has little impact beyond the fact that the faster you go, the more calories you'll burn off in a given period of time. I've seen people get crazy about trying to get in more miles to lose more weight or to lose weight faster, but the problem with this attitude is that it often leads to overuse injuries. The goal is always to be reasonable. It's fine to build up to a lot of miles, and that will burn off a great number of calories, but you need to do this over a period of months, not weeks. Start out with a reasonable, gradual walk-to-run plan, and if you want to burn off more calories, just add a few extra walking miles per week. If you're already doing that, and you've been doing it a few weeks, so your body's adjusted to that, then add an easy bike ride a couple of times a week and some stair repeats, one at a time or one thing at a time. Again, gradually. And, of course, don't forget weight training. Put all this together, and if all else stays the same, you should definitely lose weight. However, here's something else to consider. If you put your body under too much stress, the stress hormone, cortisol, may elevate, and that all by itself can keep you from losing weight. Yes, I know that is aggravating, but it's a fact that too much stress can prevent weight loss. In fact, if you have too much stress, it's possible that no amount of exercise will result in any weight loss. It's critical to look at all the areas of your life and strive for an overall healthy lifestyle and a healthy mental state. If you want to lose weight, you need to do all these things. Exercise, eat a reasonable diet, get plenty of sleep, meditate, play. Yes, that's what I said, play. All the psychiatrists report that playing, spending time relaxing with people you love and who love you, whether friends or family, will reduce stress. Another reason to reduce stress is that you'll have more willpower and make better choices if you're relaxed. My advice is not to demand too much of yourself. Be reasonable. Most people know their downfalls, their problem areas. Maybe it's that latte that you have every afternoon on your coffee break, that 300-calorie latte. That may not seem like so much, but if you get that 300-calorie latte 5 days a week, that adds up to, are you ready? 26 pounds a year. So, you have to run or walk 3 miles a day just to offset that latte. When you start looking at things that way, you start to appreciate every calorie. Maybe your downfall is that sweet snack that you crave before bed. 3 Oreo cookies, which is considered one serving, have 160 calories. That's over a mile and a half. Or maybe you reach for a Greek yogurt, thinking that it's good for you. Greek yogurt? Think again. Many Greek yogurts are full of sugar. And as you probably know by now, sugar is the bad guy, the demon that people used to think fat was. Of course, all fat is not good, but good fat is great. Fat doesn't, in fact, make you fat either. And if it's healthy fat, it makes you healthy. Just don't eat too much of it because, of course, it does have a lot of calories. If you haven't been keeping up with common knowledge about healthy eating and you still think you should eat a low-fat diet, please do just a few minutes of research, and I will certainly link to some references in the show notes that will help to guide you. Did you know that some popular brands of Greek yogurt have 8 teaspoons of sugar? 8. 4 grams of sugar equals a teaspoon. And some of the 8-ounce sizes of yogurt have 32 grams of sugar. If you hadn't been gradually adjusting to such a high sugar content over the years, you'd probably gag on that much. Prior generations would, for sure, but over the last 20 years, they've been adding more and more sugar to processed foods because it's addictive every bit as much as nicotine. The more you eat sweet foods, the more you want them, the more you crave them. It's much easier to resist that first cookie than to resist the second, and that's why. Just one more reason to avoid processed food. My advice is to find a reasonable place to start with your eating. If your problem is that you're drinking 5 lattes per week, cut down to 2. Or maybe you have them only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You'll appreciate them all the more. And maybe if you want to really offset them, you walk 3 miles each day to offset the calories in the latte. I bet before long, you'll decide that latte is not really so important. When you look at the food you eat in terms of how many miles it would take to burn off those calories, it helps you exercise restraint. When it comes to eating, just be reasonable. And don't feel like you have to pursue some complicated new diet. If you just follow some simple, wise guidelines, you should be fine. Here are a few of the things that I recommend. Eat real food rather than anything that's made from chemicals. Your food should either walk or swim or grow on a tree or in the ground. If it swims or walks, make sure it's organic, if it's meat. And if it's fish, make sure it's wild caught. Avoid preservatives. If it doesn't spoil, that's actually a bad sign. Check labels. If there's more than one ingredient, then maybe you should worry. The main thing, though, is make sure you understand what is there. Don't eat anything with chemicals in it if you don't know what those are. Eat lots of vegetables and make sure to eat a wide color variety. This ensures a variety of vitamins and minerals. I like a quote from Michael Pollan. He said, "Eat real food, mostly fruits and vegetables, and not much." If you follow that, I think you're halfway there, or maybe 3/4. Bottom line, think about what you're eating and be realistic. There's quite a lot of talk now about macronutrient ratios. And by that, I mean ratios of carbs to protein to fat. For a long time, the prevailing thought was that most calories should be carbs. But now, we know that's likely not good advice. Not for everybody. At least, not for many people. It turns out that what's ideal for any given person may depend on that person's DNA. What everyone does agree on, though, is that not all carbs are alike. Brussels sprouts or broccoli or kale are not at all the same thing as Pop-Tarts, breakfast cereal, and bagels or fries. Yet, they're all carbs. It's just common sense that these veggies are nutrient-dense and contain plenty of fiber as well, which means they'll keep you satisfied longer. They don't have ingredients. They're the way they came out of the ground. And if they're also organic, then they are a veritable jackpot of goodness with, as far as I know, no negative downside. As you get deeper into your running program, you'll discover that even without doing it intentionally, you'll be inclined to make healthier choices. Don't expect running to be a panacea, though. It's not. It's only a part of a good, healthy lifestyle plan that will result in a good, healthy weight. Over the years, I've known some people who started running to lose weight. but they never lost a pound. Others actually gained because they felt like they were working out so much compared to their prior couch potato self that they rationalized that they could eat a little more, but they weren't doing enough exercise to warrant eating a little more. You have to really, really, really exercise a lot before you actually need to increase your caloric intake. And I've never known a beginner runner that ever needed to increase their caloric intake. Anyway, if your goal is to lose weight, then remember you are already eating too much or eating the wrong things, and that's why you have weight to lose to start with. So don't fall into that trap of, because you're doing a lot more than you were, feeling like you have to consume more. You don't. If you want to use running to lose weight, you need to realize that it's just a part of an overall plan. But you must modify your diet as well. That's just realistic. That's just a fact. And it's important for every runner to accept that. Now here's today's quote. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most.